නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය ඕම් නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය ඕම් නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, titled Status Quo, Chapter 22, The Marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, Text Number 17. Yam hamya priste kvanat angri shobam Vikridatim kanduka vivalakshim Vishvavasunya patat swad vimanat Vilokya sammoha vimuda chetaha Yam hamya priste kvanat angri shobam Vikridatim kanduka vivalakshim Vishvavasunya patat swad vimanat Vilokya sammoha vimodas chetaha Yam hamya priste kvanat angri shobam Vikridatim kanduka vivalakshim Vishvavasunya patat swad vimanat Vilokya sammoha vimuda chetaha Yam Whom? Hamya priste On the roof of the palace Kvanat Angrishobam, whose beauty was heightened by the tinkling ornaments on her feet. Vikridatim, playing. Kanduka Vivala Akshim, with eyes bewildered, following her ball. Vishvavasu, Nyapatat, fell down, Swat, from his own, Vimanat, from the airplane, Vilokhya, seeing, Sammoha Vimuda Chetaha, whose mind was stupefied. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. I'll read this verse and then we do it responsively. I have heard that Vishvavasu, the great Gandharva, his mind stupefied with infatuation, fell from his airplane after seeing your daughter playing with a ball on the roof of the palace. For she was indeed beautiful, with her tinkling ankle bells and her eyes moving to and fro. Responsively, I have heard that Vishvavasu, the great Gandharva, his mind stupefied with infatuation, fell from his airplane. After seeing your daughter playing with a ball on the roof of the palace. For she was indeed beautiful, with her tinkling ankle bells and her eyes moving to and fro. It is understood that not only at the present moment, but in those days also, there were skyscrapers. Herein, we find the word Hamyapriste. Hamya means a very big palatial building. Swat Vimanat means from his own airplane. It is suggested that private airplanes or helicopters were also current in those days. The Gandharva Vishwavasu, while flying in the sky, could see Devahuti playing ball on the roof of the palace. Ball playing was also current, but aristocratic girls would not play in a public place. Ball playing and other such pleasures were not meant for ordinary women and girls. Only princesses like Devahuti could indulge in such sports. It is described herein that she was seen from the flying airplane. This indicates that the palace was very high. Otherwise, how could one see her from an airplane? The vision was so distinct that the Gandharva Vishwavasu was bewildered by her beauty, and by hearing the sound of her ankle bangles and being captivated by the sound and beauty, he fell down. Kardama Muni mentioned the incident as he had heard it. Om Agyana Timirandasya Agyananjana Salakai Chakshuru Nitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Nam Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadat Isva Padantika. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So here we are hearing, this chapter is titled The Marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, but still there's this conversation going on between Kardama Muni and Swayambhuv Manu. So we can see in Bhagavatam there are many layers of conversations. So here there's this one conversation going on, and then we are hearing this conversation from another conversation between two exalted personalities. Who are they? Maitreya Muni and Vidura. And their conversation in turn is being heard from the mouth of Sudha Goswami and Sonaka Rishi, the representative for the sages assembled at Naimasharanya. And Sudha Goswami himself was present in the assembly of the sages when Sukadev Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. And Sukadev Goswami is none other than the son of Vyasadev, who is none other than the compiler of the Bhagavatam himself. So now we can see that by the mercy of all these exalted personalities, Param Satyam, absolute truth, I think someone needs to tighten this, absolute truth is actually flowing from, thanks. Param Satyam, absolute truth is actually, the knowledge of absolute truth is actually flowing down from the spiritual sky through the mouth of all these realized personalities. And by the causeless mercy of the Lord, we are now getting to hear this Bhagavatam and to read this Bhagavatam through his empowered devotee, Srila Prabhupada, who has actually taken the trouble. You know, we would have read the Leelamrita, where he was like staying up late, middle of the night, getting up 1 a.m., 2 a.m. and translating the Bhagavatam. The common denominator in all these conversations is who? Krishna. It's all about glorifying Krishna. Okay. And in glorification of Krishna, we get to also get closer to him. The important thing is, in trying to approach the Bhagavatam, we have to actually have faith to take shelter of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Here this section of the Bhagavatam is actually dealing with creation. We have gone past the stage where Maitreya Muni has actually described Sarga, where the Lord has actually done the primary creation. And we have also gone past a stage where Lord Brahma has started his secondary creation, Visarga. We are at a point where Lord Brahma has actually started this process of populating the universe. We have read that two personalities manifested from the body of Lord Brahma, Swayambhu Manu and Shatarupa. So it's interesting to know they were not born from Brahma, they were actually manifested from Lord Brahma. Where they came from, nobody knows. Okay? Because if they were born from Brahma, then how can they be husband and wife? Then it would mean all the offsprings coming from them are actually products of incest. So they manifested from the body of Lord Brahma. And from them, they had sexual union and five children were born, three daughters and two sons. Who are they? Akuti, Devahuti, Prashuti, Uttanapad and Priyavarta. So now we are hearing how the population is actually going to be expanded through the lineage of Devahuti. Backtracking a bit, we saw how Lord Brahma first, in the material world, he created the five coverings of ignorance. The five coverings of ignorance are, what are they? We have Tamishra, Andatamishra, Tamas, Moha and Mahamoha. The five coverings of ignorance. So Lord Brahma was disgusted with that body and he then gave it up. And that took the form of night, which were taken by Yakshas and Rakshasas. They took possession of that. Then Lord Brahma created daytime. Being in the mode of goodness, the demigods took possession of daytime. Then Lord Brahma created twilight. And here, the demons from his buttocks, they began to see twilight in the form of a young maiden. And there's this interesting similarity with what Devahuti is participating in this activity of playing ball. So when these demons, they actually saw twilight in the form of a young maiden, what was that young maiden doing? This beautiful, voluptuous young maiden, she was also playing ball. She was also wearing ankle bells. Okay? Tinkling, making that interesting sound. And she too was like moving to and fro. Just like how we see Devahuti here. Okay, playing ball, moving to and fro, ankle bells making sound on her feet. So the demons got captivated. They were attracted. Attracted not for anything else, but they were attracted for sex. Lusting for sex. And they seized her. That's how they got to. That's why twilight is that time of day which is neither here nor there. It's an inauspicious time. It actually brings about this mode of passion and ignorance to the fore in the conditioned souls. And then interestingly, Lord Brahma creates moonlight. And who takes possession of moonlight? It is the same Visvavasu that we are now talking about here in this verse. The Gandharva Visvavasu and other Gandharvas took possession of moonlight. So from there, then we see that it flows where he goes on to create other elements, and it brings us to the point where we get connection to this verse here today, where we see the same Gandharva. He is seeing Devahuti engaged in this activity of playing ball, and he is, the Prabhupada uses the translation, the phrase here, stupefied with infatuation. What does the word stupefied mean? Anyone? Stunned. Okay. Shocked. Stunned. Okay. He was stunned with infatuation. What does infatuation mean? Admiration. Yeah. Admiration. Anyone else? Infatuation. Attraction. Lust. Infatuation is intense short-term attraction, with the central attraction being lust for sex. Okay? So, we are already seeing that Lord Brahma is going through this process of creation, and while still in the early stages of creation with these exalted personalities who are meant to be populating the earth, they themselves are getting affected by what? The effects of creation. It's already happening at that early stage. Right? So, everyone in the material world is stuck with this. It doesn't mean just because we were born earlier in the golden age, in Satya Yuga or whatever, that we are exempted from this. We are stuck, mode of ignorance, passion, goodness. Material world just entraps us. Alright? So, we are here, in this verse here, we are seeing the Prabhupada says, in those days there were also skyscrapers. Okay? Hamya Priste, a very big palatial building. Okay. Swat Vimana from his own airplane. So she was on a very, very tall building. Okay, and here we have this Gandharva, a celestial being. Actually, it's a celestial musician. Gandharvas are celestial musicians. Okay, they are born in the higher interplanetary systems, and when they are singing, who dances? The apsaras, they dance. Okay. So, and it's all for pleasing. Their singing and the dancing is all for pleasing the lords, the demigods. So here, Gandharva is flying around in his airplane. Vishwavasu is flying around in his airplane. And he sees Devahuti playing on the rooftop of a very tall building. Now, we have all traveled by airplane. Today's mode of travel is like, we don't have this open air airplane like Vishwavasu is traveling. We board a plane, we check in. The moment the plane takes off, we can hardly see anything on the ground. Right? We can't see any human beings. It just very quickly, it just all disappears. But here, on this tall building, okay, and he is flying around in an open airplane, and he can distinctly not only see Devahuti, he can also hear her ankle bells. Quite far out, isn't it, Bhagavatam's descriptions? Indeed, it's very, very far out. And if we actually think about this, approaching the Bhagavatam needs strong faith. We need to have very, very strong faith to actually not only hear these wonderful far-out pastimes, but also accept that these are actually factual, they are shastra. We have to accept that we have got a limited fund of knowledge. Prabhupada likes to use this phrase, limited fund of knowledge. But with this puny brain, we think we know everything. Anything outside of this puny intelligence is like when it doesn't fit into our comfort zone, it just doesn't get accepted easily. Can you imagine having a conversation with a non-devotee where we say, God is actually a cowherd boy, and while he is a cowherd boy, he actually is playing with his friends, and while he's playing, he is expanding himself into this big form called Mahavishnu. And this big form is lying in this body of water called the causal ocean. And not only that, from his sweat pores — we sweat, water comes out — but from his sweat pores, innumerable universes are coming out. And not only that, this God, who is a cowherd boy, he enters into these innumerable universes. Not only that, from his navel comes this lotus flower, and there's this personality called Brahma who is born on this lotus flower. And to top it off, the same God, he is born from the nostril of this Brahma, coming out as a small little tiny boar, an animal, and then he grows gigantic to fight with a demon who was in his mother's womb for 100 years. Hare Krishna. You'd be lucky if at this stage your listener is still in front of you. They might have called the lunatic asylum and probably put you in a straitjacket by now. So it needs strong faith. For devotees, what we hear in the Bhagavatam are nectarian pastimes of getting closer to Krishna. Krishna is to Swayam Bhagavan. The other way, Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is God. He is all attractive. He can do whatever he likes. He's God. Okay. But because of our tiny intelligence, when it doesn't fit in, we find it hard to accept him. He needs strong faith. Just like the pastime where Narada Muni is on his way to see Lord Vishnu. And then he meets this Brahmana. So Brahmana, being a Brahmana, he thinks, oh, okay, my dear sage, where are you off to? Narada says, I'm off to see the Lord. Oh, really? Can you do me a favor? Can you ask Lord Vishnu, how many more lifetimes do I have to go back to him? Will I go back to him in this one lifetime? Look, I'm a Brahmana. I'm doing so much of service. It would be wonderful if I can go back to him this lifetime. Please find out for me. Narada Muni says, no problem, I'll find out. Narada Muni then walks further and he sees a cobbler. Okay. Cobbler asks the same thing. Oh, my dear sage, where are you off to? Narada says, I'm off to see the Lord. Oh, can you please find out for me whether I'll be going back to him soon? How many more lifetimes do I have? I'm tired working with this cobbler work. Narada Muni goes to Lord Vishnu, and there he says, my dear Lord, I met two of your subjects. One is your devoted Brahmana. He's doing service for you every day. And the other one is a simple cobbler. They both want to know when they will come back to you. So the Lord says, the Brahmana, he's got many, 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 many more lifetimes before he will come back to me. That shocks Narada Muni. Oh, that's not right. Brahmana, he's worshipping you every day. How is it that he's got many, many, many more lifetimes before he comes back to you? And then the Lord says, the cobbler, this is his last birth. He will come back to me. Again, Narada Muni is puzzled. That's not right. He's a cobbler. He's not engaged in your service. So Narada Muni comes back. And then he comes back to report to the Brahmana and the cobbler. So he meets the Brahmana and he says, Yep, I've been to see the Lord. And the Brahmana is eager to know whether he'll go back to the Lord this lifetime. Then in his eagerness, he also asks, what is the Lord doing? I'd like to hear about what the Lord is doing. So, but before that, while still up there in the spiritual sky with Lord Vishnu, when Narada Muni was puzzled, he asked the Lord, my Lord, I don't understand why you're giving this response where the Brahmana has got many more lifetimes to go, but the cobbler comes back to you in this one lifetime. So the Lord says, when you go back to them, when they ask you about what I'm doing, you tell them I am busy threading an elephant through an eye of a needle. And based on their response, you will know why I've given this answer. So Narada Muni then comes, and when the Brahmana asks him, what is the Lord doing? Narada answers, the Lord is busy threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. It's challenging our faith, isn't it? An elephant is so big. How to thread an elephant through the tiny eye of a needle, the tiny hole? Similarly, the Brahmana reacts, this is preposterous. I don't believe it. How can the Lord be doing such a thing? I mean, it's not possible. It cannot be done. I'm a scholar, I'm a Brahmana, I'm a learned Brahmana, I know. It cannot be done. Same then, Narada ji goes to the cobbler. What is the Lord doing? Cobbler asks. Narada says, the Lord is busy threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. And the response is, oh, how wonderful, how amazing my Lord is. How wonderful my Lord can do anything. When he can put a huge banyan tree into a tiny seed, what is this activity of threading an elephant through the eye of a needle? It's nothing. Faith. Devotion. That explains why the cobbler went back in that same lifetime. So, Kardama Muni here is not directly in this verse, but in this section, he is teaching us some important lessons. To have faith in Lord, to be focused on devotional service. And he's teaching us, while we keep our goal focused on going back to Godhead, he is also teaching us to be focused on our duty. Our goal is different from our duty. Okay. Our goal is to go back to Godhead. But our duty is to be engaged in our activities, thinking of the Lord, and while performing devotional service, as to how we can not only purify ourselves, but give this Krishna consciousness to others. Because Narada Muni is saying, yeah, I'll marry. See, like, I think it's in text 19. I'll just quickly read this, where he says, I shall accept this chaste girl as my wife on the condition that after she bears semen from my body, I shall accept the life of devotional service accepted by the most perfect human beings. There's a condition. So his goal is to go back to Godhead. But he is saying, for performing my duty, I'll marry. Kardama Muni was instructed by Lord Brahma to beget children. Alright? So he took that instruction to heart, and what did he do? He performed mystic yoga meditation for 10,000 years on the banks of the river Saraswati. And the Lord was so pleased with Kardama Muni's austerities in performing that devotional service, where the Lord himself gave darshan. He appeared and said, I'm pleased with you being focused on me. Your material desires I've already arranged for you. Don't worry about it. Very soon, Swayambhuva Manu and his wife Shatarupa will come and they will hand over their daughter in marriage to you. So the point is, when we take care of our spiritual life, the Lord will automatically take care of our material life. He needs faith in the Lord and surrender. So he performed this tapasya. The Lord appears and then he accepts Devahuti as his wife, but he's remaining focused on his duty. And we would read further that even though he has achieved the eightfold mystic yoga, he's got that mystic siddhis, when he creates this aerial mansion, which is so opulently decorated, multi-storied, and he's flying around. Okay, this is a mansion. We just talked about a vimana, which was like Vishwavasu fell off it. But here we're talking about an aerial mansion. So Kardama Muni himself is astonished with how he could actually create such a wonderful structure. Goes to show, when the Lord is pleased with us, the Lord takes care of our desires. So here in Melbourne now, we've got a very big project going on. What's the project?
New kitchen,
yes. New kitchen project. So, as far as the Lord is concerned, the kitchen has already manifested. Okay? Just like how he created that aerial mansion for Kardama Muni, he knows how the kitchen is going to take shape. But the important thing here is, he is giving us the opportunity to get some purification, to be engaged in devotional service. Because the kitchen is an integral part of this temple. You cannot have a temple without Radha Vallabha's kitchen. You cannot separate the two. And when any conditioned soul actually participates in the building of a temple of Lord Vishnu, many generations, not just him alone, is liberated. Many generations, up to 14 generations, are liberated. So there you go. What are we going to do? Do we just leave it to Krishna to manifest the kitchen? Or do we take advantage of this opportunity to do devotional service and to get some purification and build a wonderful kitchen for the Lord?
The second choice.
Second choice. Wonderful answer. A householder's duty, we're talking about duty, a householder's duty is to give in charity. As much as we go and do our daily work and all that, okay, there is this charity that we got to do for pleasing the Lord. Any activity which is connected to Krishna is transcendental. We were having the AGM recently, ISKCON AGM recently. Anirudha Prabhu came up to me and it's like, said, anything connected to Krishna is transcendental. Srila Prabhupada said that. He repeated that more than once. Anything connected to Krishna is transcendental. So, we want to be connected to Krishna. As householders, we have a duty. We have a duty to give in charity. Up to what we can. Okay, it doesn't mean that you're poor, you can't. Because we in Gaura Leela, there's this pastime of Kolavecha Sridhar. Kolavecha Sridhar was actually an eternal associate of the Lord. But in Gaura Leela, he took this very austere, simple position as a Brahmana, but he was extremely devoted to the Lord. And he maintained himself by just selling banana leaves, banana trunks, banana flowers. Very simple. He'll cut them up, okay, and take it to the marketplace. But 50% of his earnings from that simple endeavor, he donates to for the pleasure of the Lord. And Vishnu and Vrindavan Das Thakur in his Chaitanya Bhagavat says, that is the test of a true devotee. It's not how big, how rich we are. It is not how poor we are. It is about the consciousness we need to have to actually please the Lord. So what sort of a kitchen do we want to build for the Lord? Karadama Muni's palace, aerial mansion, the pillars were all bedecked with gold ornaments, jewels. Of course, we can't do that in the kitchen here because the cooks will not be cooking. They'll come every day with their chisels, their hammer to dig out the ornaments from the pillars. Kali Yuga. But we should. So meditate on that, what we're going to do. There's this fundraising dinner which is going to come up soon and you'll hear all the details. You want to actually please the Lord? You want to actually liberate your dependence? You want to do devotional service? Here's your chance. The Lord has brought this opportunity to us. We don't even have to go in search of it. As a householder, we've got the responsibility to liberate our dependents. It's stated that do not become a parent, do not become a teacher, do not become a demigod. And there's one more. If you cannot liberate your dependents from the repeated cycle of birth and death, we've got to dovetail our activities to put Krishna in the relationship that we have, not just with our spouse, but with our dependents also. Only when we put Krishna in the center, then it gives meaning to material life. Nowadays, Indian homes is common to have altars. Okay? And it's good. But it's no point if the altar is in a corner and you do not recognize Krishna as the master of the house that we are living in. It is pointless if we do not see our partner, our spouse, as someone more elevated than us who is actually serving the Lord, and we see ourselves as the servant of the servant in the house where the Lord is the king. If we see ourselves, if we see our relationship, if we see our spouse who is actually a servant of the Lord, and we see ourselves as a servant of the servant with the Lord being in the center, then that marriage, that relationship would have meaning, it will be more harmonious. That's how we hold peace at home. Material world, the non-devotees, society at large, we can see that it's a godless society. Households are dysfunctional, especially in Western societies. And I'm seeing this, I'm witnessing this personally at my workplace. See, it's interesting where after many years of working in some company, I've quit that. I've now joined another company. And I've just been in this job for 8 weeks, just 8 weeks. And in these 8 weeks, some interesting realizations are coming to me as to how I said earlier, our duty is to give Krishna consciousness. Here, and as I just said, where householders, if you want to keep your household peaceful, harmonious, you serve the Lord, you put the Lord in the center. Here in my office, two ladies have already walked up to me. One walked up to me and said, "So you're a Hare Krishna." This is just after a few days of me joining. "So you're a Hare Krishna." I say, "How do you know?" "Oh, I see that little ponytail behind your head." Yeah. What does that show? Sometimes we underestimate how deeply this Hare Krishna movement is enmeshed in the fabric of Melbourne society, or for that matter, Australian society. It's easy to underestimate that. This lady, when she was a child, she's into her 40s. Okay? She herself now is a mother, she's got teenage kids and all that. She's separated from her husband, okay? Broken family, having problems, teenage problems, doesn't know how to handle it. Okay? No money, can't maintain, desperate for a job, she's working part-time. "So you're a Hare Krishna?" I say, "Yeah." Then she says, "Actually, when I was a kid, when I was a school kid, from school, I would take the train, come into the city, and I would see these Hare Krishnas happily dancing on the street. How come you all are not doing it anymore?" I said, "No, we actually do it. But I used to see you all every day in the city in those years." "Oh, these days, we do it every Friday," I told her. Then she goes, more interestingly, "So that restaurant, Gopal's, is it still there?" This is a lady in her 40s where she is remembering what she had seen decades ago. I said, "Yeah, it's still there. It's in the same old place," I told her. I said, "Go there." Then she said something more interesting a few days later when she got to know me. She said, "I'm having trouble with my kids. I don't know what to do with them. Actually, I thought about you this morning. I wanted to ask you whether I can bring them to the temple." It's got nothing to do with me. It's all about how society is crying out for this knowledge. There's so many out there that we can reach out and touch. We've got a big responsibility. Our duty is very big. While we keep our goal focused on going back to Godhead, we've got to do our duty of... Our duty, I repeat, is just not saving ourselves. It is to save society. It is to give Krishna to society. Srila Prabhupada named this movement the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. One society. Prabhupada envisions that this one society will unify the whole world one day. Today the world is fragmented into many, many countries. But one day this one society with Krishna consciousness will unify the whole world. Just like how Yudhishthira Maharaj was one emperor ruling the whole world. So, for society to become Krishna consciousness, it all starts with the household. And within the household, it starts with one jiva. As to how that one jiva sees his connection. Whether he just floats around, drifts around, thinking that I don't believe in God. Or whether he sees that his position is a servant, that he's a soul who's got a relationship, a sambandha with Ishvara. When that realization awakens in us, that is the beginning of actually awakening our dormant love for Krishna. Krishna is all beautiful, absolutely beautiful. The word Krishna means all attractive. Today we see there's this key word in this verse, beauty, talking about Devahuti. Her beauty is so captivating that Vishwavasu fell down. Flying around in his airplane, he fell down. But there's a difference. Kardama Muni, being a devotee of the Lord, being focused on his goal and knowing his duty, while he acknowledges her beauty, he is not attached to it to be infatuated. His duty takes focus, his goal takes focus. Kardama Muni is actually very special, very fortunate. He got darshan of the Lord twice, not once. The second time he got darshan is when the Lord appeared as Lord Kapila. He told Kapila Dev, after he had fulfilled all these material duties, okay, he impregnated Devahuti, 9 daughters were born, Kapila Dev has been born, fulfilled Devahuti's desires, fulfilled his material desires. He told Lord Kapila, now that I have fulfilled my debt to my father, Lord Brahma, now that I fulfill my desires, my material desires, I want to wander around with my mind totally absorbed in thinking about you. It's quite strange. He's telling this to God, who is right in front of him, and he wants to leave God. Prabhupada actually explains that the sense of duty means also staying true to Vedic injunctions. When we reach a certain age, we need to wind down our connection with our family. The mind needs to actually be focused more towards the Lord. So we're talking about Krishna's beauty, and Krishna, the name, as I said, itself means all attractive. There are 8.4 million species of life in this material world. But Krishna has got millions and millions of forms. And his beauty is everlasting, fresh, transcendental, divyam. This material world is temporary. Anityam asukam lokam, temporary. Anything in this material world is not everlasting, is temporary, it will die. Beauty in the material world is temporary. But Krishna's beauty is everlasting. That's the beauty that we should be attached to. I mean, think about it. Who would not be attached to that beautiful vision of little Damodara that we always meditate on, come Damodara month? Okay? Who would not be attached to that little Damodara, the beautiful vision of him running around in fear of Mother Yashoda? Okay? Seeing the whipping stick in her hand. Who would not be actually attached to that beautiful face, that lotus face, which is encircled by locks of soft curly hair, tinged with red, kissed again and again by Mother Yashoda? Who would not be attached to that beautiful lips which are reddish like the bimba fruit? Who would not be attached to the handsome Krishna, who is more handsome than Kamadev himself, that youthful Krishna casting sidelong amorous glances at the gopis in the groves of Vrindavan, playing his flute, his enchanting melodies, while standing in his tribhanga form of Shama Sundar? Who would not be attached to that wonderful form which gave darshan to Kardama Muni? That same eternal Lord who appeared in his effulgent four-handed form, having soft curly hair, sharp nose, holding the Shankar Chakra, Gada Padma in his four hands, having the mark of Sri Vatsa on his chest, wearing the Kastuba gem around his slender neck, his beautiful face adorned by golden crown and earrings, his hands, his four hands having these golden beautiful bracelets, he's wearing this spotless yellow garment, and he's wearing this beautiful lotus garland with white lilies. Who would not be attached to the beautiful deities on our altar here? See, every time I describe this, there's this image which forms in your mind, correct? To put that picture in your mind first, we got to think about Krishna. Thinking about Krishna means we got to think with intelligence. In thinking about Krishna, you can think about him favorably or you can think about him unfavorably. Kamsa thought about him unfavorably. There was a time when Kamsa's two wives, one wearing black outfit, black sari, another one white, they approached Kamsa. He was so disturbed by the thought of Krishna and Balaram that he mistook his queens as Krishna and Balaram. And he said, arrest them. But we got to think of Krishna in a favorable mood. Anukulyena. I mentioned earlier, before we started singing this Jayaradha Madhava song this morning, many of you were not here. Prabhupada was very fond of this song, Jayaradha Madhava. In Allahabad and in Gorakhpur in India, he actually sang the first two lines of this song, Jayaradha Madhava, and he went into a trance. Why? Because the picture of Vrindavan was so clear in his mind. This song, Jayaradha Madhava, as I mentioned earlier, is a picture of Vrindavan. You have Krishna there, you have Radharani there, you have Govardhan there, you have Mother Yashoda, you have the gopis, you have got the inhabitants of Raj. Okay, he is walking along the banks of Yamuna. So we think in pictures. Psychologists have proven that. We think in pictures. Okay, and I can easily demonstrate that to you. Think about your house. Immediately a picture snaps into your mind. Correct? Think about your car. Immediately a picture comes into your mind. We think in pictures. But to think in pictures, as I said, we got to apply our intelligence. What's that verse in Bhagavad Gita? 342. Indriyani parani ahur indriye yavya param manaha. Manasastu para buddhir yo buddhir manasastu paratas tu saha. Indriyani parani ahur. The working senses are superior than dull matter. Indriyebhya param manaha. The mind is superior to the working senses. Manasastu para buddhir. Intelligence is superior to the mind. Yo buddhir parata su sa. But the soul is higher than everything else. We've got a relationship with Krishna when we actually know that we are spirit soul, that we have got the sambandha with Krishna, then we would do what is necessary to be engaged in devotional service to strengthen this sambandha, to witness the beauty of Krishna. So, it's almost time. So we can go on. We can go on being engaged in devotional service without actually meditating how privileged we are in this lifetime to have this opportunity. But it is not a privilege for us to keep. It is a privilege that we need to share. Someone shared that with us, and therefore we are here today. So we got the duty to share that to others as well. And more importantly, while sharing this, we got to actually ask ourselves, am I at a point in my life where I'm actually advancing in Krishna consciousness? Am I getting closer and closer to actually see the beautiful form of the Lord? Many of us here have been in the movement for many, many years. Some just joined, some a few years, some many years. At these different times, different degrees of our journey in Krishna consciousness, especially those who have spent many, many years, we've got to be introspective and ask ourselves, have I lived this journey of Krishna consciousness where I'm actually moving closer to God, or am I just drifting? Is my sadhana at a level where I am actually getting closer to the Lord? Am I realizing more? Am I going deeper into seeing the Lord within my heart? It's not about how much service we do to actually come to this point of getting these realizations. It is about how well we do the little that we get to do. And how well means thinking about Krishna. Not about cleaning this floor to the point where you can dig through China. How well means that little service that we do, are we actually connected to Krishna in meditation? It is that meditation will go deeper into our heart to reveal the beauty of Krishna, to realize our sambandha. It doesn't mean that when we get to the spiritual world that we would be on par with Krishna. We will always be a servant up there. Jivere swarupa hoy krishnere nityadas. Our eternal position is always to be a servant. Death will come soon. At the end of our life, that very last breath that we draw, are we going to remember Krishna? Ante kale chame evam. What's the verse? Ante kale chame evam. Smaran muktva kalevaram. Ya prayati samadbhavam. Yati nasti atra samsaya. That last breath that we draw, are we going to be in a position to remember Krishna? Is our meditation going to be that strong where we could fix our mind on Krishna? Prabhupada displayed that. We know it is possible. Till the very last breath, Prabhupada was meditating on Krishna. I leave you with that thought. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments? Everyone's meditating, I think.
Actually, just like mentioning to colleague in at your work, who she was a child, she saw the Abhinav. I met an older man, and I mentioned I'm from. So we were talking, and he mentioned him that I'm from Hare Krishna. And he asked, oh, you are from Hare Krishna. Where are they? 20 years ago, they made this noise every day in the city, and now I don't hear that. So he is missing.
He's getting purified. Yeah. To him it's noise, but the sound vibration is purifying. Yeah. So it's interesting. See, for us practicing devotees, we don't have to do anything. All you have to do is be in your uniform. Be a Hare Krishna devotee uniform. And part of that uniform is just look like a devotee, behave like a devotee. And if you want to have a shikha, go and have a shikha. For many years, I didn't have one. But when I started having one, it's like it becomes a topic of conversation. And it leads to talking about the Hare Krishnas. But more than our physical appearance is how we behave in society that will attract people to the Hare Krishna movement. The qualities that we develop as devotees, we need to actually apply in our daily lives. There are 26 qualities of a devotee. You apply that, of course, we're still working on trying to get better at many of these qualities. But for what we have, we should set a goal to improve on the quality as a devotee. Kardama Muni displayed that by being an exemplary devotee of the Lord. Devahuti too. See, they got married because they had similar qualities in age, qualities and character. So we, when we carry ourselves as devotees in the community, you do not know who's looking at us. We are being watched all the time. Outside the community, when we walk on the streets, we do not know who's looking at us. We are being watched all the time. Especially when we are in devotional clothes walking out there, we are ambassadors for Prabhupada. To glorify Prabhupada, if we behave well, Prabhupada gets the glorification, the adoration. Any other comments? See your family as servants of Krishna. Krishna sees everything around. See Krishna, everything. You got to see everything around as being in relation to Krishna. Okay. Pandita Samadarshana. But it means we need to practice our sadhana first. We got to read the Bhagavatam. We got to hear the Bhagavatam. We got to read Prabhupada's books. We got to do our sadhana. We got to engage in devotional service. Krishna consciousness is all about a mental adjustment of how we see, perceive things around us. It's seeing everything in relation to Krishna. When you see God in everything, then naturally you would want to serve God, please God. And when you know your own position as a servant, you would then want to see others who need to be served with love and devotion. It doesn't become a distraction when you Krishna-size your thoughts. Hope that answers. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaurav Premanandi.